Welcome
to Big Natural Talents.
Let's kick off. Big Natural Talents, Conchetta, how are you today?
Hi, Lozzie. I'm good. I miss you. You look beautiful. I love to do the work we do every week.
Doing the work. That's what we do. That's as Oprah would say, we're doing the work.
How are you, Missy?
Oh my god. Like, not good. I don't know what you want me to say to that in these times. But
we should ban that question on this pod.
Yeah. Because, like, what's the answer that's going to be good?
Bad.
There's no good answer.
Do you want me to say bad every week?
Bad.
Come here and you say, how are you? And I say bad. And then
bad.
Does that make you feel better?
No. Because am I going to do anything about it? No.
No. Was I writing a big list of all my anxieties and things that I have to do and then be like, well, time to go be funny on a pod?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like if you write down everything that you're anxiously fixated on and, like, write it all down and look at it and go over it and think about it, like, it'll make it feel better.
Yeah. And you can't cross anything off and nothing changes and you just sort of stare at it.
They're all kind of existential things that you actually can't control.
But also,
but that's,
Let's
introduce our guest?
Yeah, we should. That's the one thing I've been excited about all week.
Yeah.
Is this guest who is, like, honestly a dear friend, but also an exciting filmmaker, creative
collaborator,
sexy man, all the things.
You're harassing our guests before we even had a chance to introduce him. So please, without further ado, welcome to the pod, Mr. Craig Anderson. How are you today, Craig?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on
Craig,
your pod.
Let's be real. Did you hate that I called you a sexy man, or did you love it because it's true?
Yeah, I don't mind. I think it's appropriate.
Okay, well, then maybe by the same standard, are you now offended that I said that you shouldn't have said that? And you're saying, like, well, why shouldn't she say that?
And in return?
No, I don't mind. I think you're trying to protect your guests from harassment. That's fine.
I am. I'm kind of like the HR of this podcast.
That's Lauren's job, and I'm the sex pest. I'm the naughty sex pest who does really good work, and so it's a real conflict of interest.
You're like, do you remember, like, I mean, it's not like do you remember, but do you feel like in the olden times people used to just, like, know who the pedophiles were? They were like, oh, that's the village pedophile. Don't go near him, child. Like, that's you.
You are not making a joke where I'm a fucking pedophile. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to walk.
No, that's a fair enough question.
Yeah.
I know
seriously
of a famous pedophile.
Here we go.
I don't know if this is the gossip section or not, but...
Take it away.
He's gone to jail now. He's in Britain, and he's older. This man, everyone, makeup people would tell me, that they referred to him as the octopus.
No. What?
Because he would put his hands on everything. When he's sitting in the chair, it was like free range. If you were in grabbing range, he would be grabbing at you and any of the other makeup.
Whoa.
But that's like a molestation, what do you call it? Sex pest, right?
Was he famous?
It wasn't. He's very famous, and it was not specifically... pedophile charge. No one was saying he was a pedophile. They were just calling him the octopus because he's grabby. But it later came out amongst a bunch of those British older comedian TV presenters that he was also one of these that was a pedophile.
Well, so, if he's been convicted, what's his name? Can we say his name? Is it what? Gary Glitter?
Yeah, sure. Rolf Harris.
Did you say Rolf Harris?
Oh,
Conchetta,
is this news? Harris, right?
I was like, no, he's been up on my wall still this whole time.
I'm a big...
No, I don't know. He's not. You know who I mentioned the other day that someone to a production person who was, like, not up to date? The guy, Burke, from Burke's Backyard. I was like, but he's, like, a bad guy. And they were like, what? And I was like, weren't they? He was a sex pest?
Yeah, that was news, wasn't it? It's on Burke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but some people aren't up to date. They're still
rewatching. He was accusations, and then a lot of people in the media started going, he's an absolute a-hole. Fuck. Like, apart from being an abuser, he was also just a jerk to everyone on set.
Oh, what an asshole. You know who's a really... Yeah, you know who's a really nice guy? Costa from Costa's Gardens. Yeah. I met him once at the ABC in Brisbane. It was really early in the morning. I was going in to do Triple J or something, and he was there really early, and he was just like, oh, hey, how are we going? And just, like, chatting to everyone, and he, like, insisted that I go in front of him in the line and things, and he was the best. And so we, on this podcast, if you're watching a gardening program, we don't support Burke's Backyard, but we do support Costa's Garden.
Costa's Garden, that's awesome. Can I say one thing? There is a show just that I'm watching. Just one thing, and then we should go to Yule Arm with your awesome thing you have to say. But
okay,
can you watch
the
show?
Don't hype it too much.
Do you guys watch the show Succession at all?
Yes, I'm.
Oh
a
my god,
fan.
Craig! So I just binged watched it with Ben, and that got me thinking about the character Lester, whose nickname was Mo. And it came out because he's Mo Lester. It was a nickname because he was a creep.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of a poetic name for a pedophile. All right. Lauren, what do you have to say? Can't wait to hear it. Not hyping it anymore.
Okay. Just, I guess, like normal thing that I thought maybe I could bring up top. And now it's suddenly become news when it was just kind of a little chat. Well, the census is coming through. You said you just got your census in the mail?
Just got it today.
Excited about the census. And I was thinking about if you could put one question on the census, like if you could ask everyone in Australia one question,
yeah,
what would that question be?
It would be like, do you think I'm pretty?
Yeah, I was like, it would be like, would you want to see a show for Lauren Bonner do stand-up comedy? Or it would be like, have you seen Lauren Bonner do stand-up comedy? If not, why?
It would also be like, do you listen to Big Natural Talents? If yes, why? If no, also why?
Yeah, because it'd be good, like, because most people would have never heard of it and not listened to it, but it would be like good just to put it in there, because like a few people would be like, oh, I haven't, like, what is it? It looks must be pretty important if it's in the census.
Craig, what would yours be?
I can't think. I've just finished a show for ABC called Australia Talk.
Oh,
like, I worked on it as a producer.
You did that.
And so, yeah, and there was a lot of so many, like hundreds of questions. So now I feel like every question has been asked. I do like the ones that were my favorite in that were, how often do you masturbate?
Awesome.
And how often do you cry?
Oh, my God.
And I thought those were very telling.
Whoa.
Of individuals.
Was there correlation? Did you measure the data of, like, did you personalize the data so you could see the people who were masturbating and crying, or were they two separate sets?
I don't think you could run those two together, but you could run things like the biggest criers were the Greens, and then next were the Nationals.
Oh, my God.
The Nationals, the people who vote for Nationals. And also Melbourne City Metro was, like, the biggest crying council.
Oh, that's funny.
Followed by
Sydney. I thought you were going to say they were like the biggest wankers.
The biggest wankers were also the Greens, but I wonder if that's just about an openness to admit things as opposed to, you know.
I think so.
An actual fact. Yeah.
Oh, the more socially
but
conservative
sorry,
you are.
I don't have a good one for the census.
You already asked yours, I guess. You had this. Someone asked you this a long time ago.
I actually have a question that I want to ask that could be on the census and I pose to all of you. But this has come up to me because we're all in lockdown. We're all listening to podcasts. Lauren has said it. I've said it. It's like the only thing worth doing in this world.
I admit it. I admit that I'm listening to podcasts sometimes.
And I've noticed this. When you go to listen to a podcast that has like a big back catalog, I feel like there's two different ways of doing it, and I'm getting it both answers from people, and I want to know which you do. But do you A, go back to the beginning because you want to do it like a book and start from the start and then like catch up, or do you go from the most recent or from like the more recent episodes where they've worked out the kinks and are more into it and then like go the other way? That's my question. How do you listen to a podcast?
Interesting. I think it very heavily depends on the podcast, right?
Ooh.
So if it was any kind of some podcasts are meant to be in order, so I do those in order.
Ah,
interesting.
I'm definitely someone who'll go back to the start because I don't like reverse evolution. Like once they work out a problem and they solve it, it's great because you move forward and you don't have that problem anymore. But if you're listening backwards, then you're listening to problems arise and boring bits continue on and, you know, get bigger, which I don't, you know.
See, that's so interesting because a friend of mine said, and I guess I'm talking maybe it's for more podcasts like this rather than like a documentary series like Dr. Death, you like start at the end like a psycho, like more like something like this, maybe I guess a comedy podcast. My friend said she starts from now because like usually they're talking about pop culture stuff, so it's more relevant rather than stuff that they're talking about in the past. She was exclusively also talking about ours because she said, back in our first episode, we're talking about that blonde actor guy who everyone thinks is a cannibal. And she's like,
Armie Hammer. She's like, who is a cannibal?
About that. Yeah, she's like, I haven't thought of that in a billion years.
Well, so maybe she should be thinking about it a bit more often. So that's what can be good about going back. Because then you remember. Because it's like, oh, yeah, Armie Hammer.
Never forget. Never forget.
Always remember. These things should kind of be like cultural knowledge through the ages. I definitely go through, I'm really chaotic about it. I'm not methodical at all. I will like look at all of the different episodes and see what they're about and choose which ones I think look the most interesting and stuff. It's definitely quality over method for me.
See, I get really overwhelmed and I'm like, I've got to start from the beginning. How am I supposed to catch up? And then I turn off the podcast and then I cry. So that's what I'm doing. I'm like opening the app, closing the app. We're done.
I'm starting an episode and going, this is boring, and starting another one. And then like, I'm listening to an episode that was like last night. I was listening to like a murder podcast that I wasn't that into. It was a bit dry. And then I ended up like on my walk, I was just chatting to you. And so then like, what's weird about that is like when a murder podcast becomes just background noise, it's like weird and menacing. Like I was texting you being like, oh yeah, it's so exciting about this thing. Like, oh yeah, I'm loving life. And then in my ears is just like, and her father was allegedly molesting her. And it's like, why am I listening to this? I'm not even paying attention. I'm just getting like background anxiety.
Drop the name.
Lauren, can you do both at the same time?
I'm trying, but I can't really.
And then she's messaging me and she's like, my father is like a molester. And I'm like, Lauren, whoa, I was sharing good news. What's going on?
And I'm like, sorry, I'm pretty stressed because actually a teenager was killed in Minnesota in 1997. So that's why I'm kind of going through a hard time. It's unrelated to the pandemic or whatever else.
Okay, I have to throw out another question. This is something that's happened to me this week. But 3 nights in a row, I've dreamt about having sex with different men to my boyfriend, Ben Cochran. Now, listen, the first night, out of my hand. I will. The first
Who
night.
Who was it? Dave Hughes. Peter Hellier.
Charlie Pickering.
Waleed Ali.
Costa from The Gardening Show.
Tommy Little.
No, the first night, I had a sex dream about the TikTok guy. The guy who was predicting the numbers, and then it came out that he was like pro COVID. And he is absolutely not my type. I was talking about it with men. And okay, wait. And then the second night, I had a dream, Craig, that Kendall from Succession was trying to eat my pussy in public, like at a function. He was trying to, and I was like, no, he was like at a university, and I was like, please stop, like this is so, but he was like, oh, I was like, no, and he was like so like obsessed with eating it in public. And then the third night, I literally like, this is inside baseball. I like can't even say who this is, but I had this like dream that like a big Australian prolific podcaster was like looking at me like and being like, is it on? And so anyways, what I'm trying to say is
a big Australian podcaster.
No, you
like,
can't guess.
Actually can't more guess. Limited.
Can you write it down and hold it up? We won't say it.
Wait, should I say it?
No, it I don't be, know.
Yeah, hold it up. We can see you.
It's the Maybe? Guy. He's like scary, and that's why it's crazy. And I've like never properly met him.
What?
The guy who hosts Dum Dum.
Oh, there's two guys who host that, so yeah, that's good. That's still Tommy. Ambiguous.
No, then. I just said it. It's the other one. It's Kyle Chandler. And I haven't told Ben. But anyways, so this
Conchita,
is happening.
Now you're never going to get booked for those gigs.
I already don't. Who fucking cares? No, but what I'm trying to say is as soon as I would wake up from the dream, I would straight away tell Ben. I'd be like, Ben, I just had a sex dream about the TikTok guy. And I just wanted to know two things. One, is that worse? Because in my head, I'm like, obviously, I'm going to share this with you. I do not want to have sex with these people. But is that like, how would I feel if he did that to me? What do you guys think about that? And two, is dreaming about cheating with someone cheating? Boom. Mic drop. Take it away.
My first thing to add to this discourse was a listener sent me an article actually that I wanted to bring up before anyway. And it was about like this thing. It was a serious article, but it was like, is your partner micro cheating? Mm. And, I thought micro cheating was an amazing term that like we need to bring into the forefront. Mm. And like examples of micro cheating that they had was like having an attractive coworker. Or like, and I was like, yeah, actually it is cheating to work with a hot girl. So I'm like on the side of the article. I think it's cheating to dream about other women. It's cheating to talk to girls. And but I don't know. I think if Ben told you the reverse, you'd be furious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I find it interesting that you would even ask us because I imagine you would flip out if he admitted to anything like that.
I think if he said someone like Fran Drescher, I'd be like, oh, that's funny and awesome. But if he said one, like a girl too close to home, like Lauren Bonner or something, I would lose my shit. But I'm so secure in the relationship that that's why I'm telling him. I'm like, God, I don't want anyone for once in my life. I'm not even thinking about micro cheating. I'm not even thinking about macro cheating. I just am so happy with you that I'm like, this is crazy that Kendall's trying to eat my puss.
I don't know. Do you think it's cheating, Conchita? You don't.
I think it would be more micro cheating if it was someone that I actually had feelings for, and like if it was the hot guy in the office that I was like flirting with, and that's when I think it borders on micro cheating. But if I have a sex dream about Bugs Bunny, no one can take that away from me. That is my own private mystery, and it's not possible that it's going to happen.
it's something, that's for sure. What's the weirdest celebrity you've ever had a sex dream about, Craig?
I am an unfortunate. I don't have many sex dreams.
He goes blackout.
I wish I did.
Blacks out.
And I've even done work to try to have them.
Awesome.
You know, like, what are they, like, read about how to control dreams and stuff. Because I'm like, I got to get, you know, that'd be an exciting world where you can do that stuff in your sleep.
You wanted to,
and not have to worry about the real world.
You wanted to lucid dream having sex with the TikTok guy. Because in real life, you could never do it because we don't agree with his politics. Craig, but in the dream world, yes, you could.
Craig, as a filmmaker, do you like dream in movies? Like, do you filmmake in your dreams and none of them include sex? Wow.
Huge question.
I don't know. I don't think they're films, but it's weird because once you're awake, I feel like I'm now standing over them like they were a film. So my only memory of dreams, I guess, kind of feel like films, stories that I kind of acted
in.
That's
awesome.
But I think I'm also aware of the feelings I have when I have those dreams and anxiety. This morning, I dreamt an old friend was showing me his new dog, but it was a Shetland pony and not a dog. And but I was wearing my towel and nothing else, like I was on the way to the shower.
Okay, let's analyze this.
But he wanted me to watch him feed champagne to this dog that was a pony, and I just was... It wasn't sexy by any means. I just felt embarrassed. I think maybe I'm embarrassed a lot in dreams or anxious.
Wow. Yeah. Did you know that there's actually a guy that like lives in my area who has a Shetland pony that he walks around like it's a dog?
No.
I've shown you the photos, Conchita. Remember when I saw the pony? And then I saw him again, like on the street, like with his Shetland pony.
Damn.
How big is it?
It's like pony size, like, you know.
What, knee height?
Hip height, I would say. Shetland style. Oh, wow. And he like rides around in a little scooter and he has a Shetland pony and he has like no regard for anyone else's personal space as well, by the way. So you can just be like walking along the river track and then like up behind you is a horse just like no respect with his pony. Because he's like...
What, do they move fast?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just too close. And I guess he's like, well, I've got a Shetland pony, like, get out of my way. Which he's not wrong to think that, but...
He should absolutely address the world like that. That's like someone, you know, when you think of peacocking and it's like a guy wearing a big hat? This is the most extreme peacocking you can do, being like, oh, that's the guy with the pony. You want to know the guy with the pony.
That's pony guy. God, that was a bit of a digression, but... Anyway, Craig, have you...
Well, I don't have sex dreams, I'm sorry, at the moment.
We're shocked because we have a lot of sex dreams.
A lot, and they're all about people in the open mic community.
Do you not think about sex stuff during the day?
Say that again?
I wonder if I don't have sex dreams because I'm thinking too much in the daytime about it and dealing with them in my head. Not like, well, sometimes perverse, but also... I'm not, like, staring at people going, oh, this would be a good one. I'm just, like, in my head thinking about, oh, yeah, that's an interesting
thing. Yeah.
That would be a weird sexual act for that person.
I
think about that a bit.
I may be the opposite then, because then it's all repressed, and then at nighttime, you know, it's TikTok, it's Gladys Berejiklian, it's anyone and anyone, it's Dan Andrews, it's...
Wait, Lauren, sorry, but you didn't... Have you had a sex dream about anyone other than Alex? And if so, have you told him?
I don't think I would have told him, no. I also forget my dreams really quickly. Mm. I feel like I semi-recently had a sex dream about someone that I was like, whoa. But then I genuinely can't remember who it is now.
Yeah.
And I wish I could, because I'd love to just, like, self-harm right now by embarrassing myself on the podcast. But if it comes to me, I will say it.
Yeah.
But it was probably just, like a comedian or something. Horrific
in,
like
in
that.
In a similar, I guess... micro-cheating way. Do you have people pop into your brain when you're, you know, having sex or masturbating? Like, I often have people pop into my brain and I'm like, oh, I don't want that person in my brain right now.
I mean, I'm, like, highly distracted as a person. So, like, if I'm having sex or anything else, like, I feel like I could just be, like, reading the newspaper, thinking a thousand thoughts at any time, whether or not I'm engaged in anything sexual. I'm just like, la, 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 like, 10 a mile a minute going on in my head. So, yeah, probably all of you probably walk in, out, this, that, whatever. I'm thinking.
I was going to say, if anyone's popping into my head, it's usually Lauren and it's like a podcast issue. So I'm having sex with Ben. And I'm like, oh, I've got to talk to Lauren about editing the clips. And I'm like, all right, see you later, Lauren. Get out.
I'm like, oh, wait, pause. Can I just write something down? I had a really good idea for a riff. I just thought of a new tag for this bit. Hang on a sec. Yeah, like I am not mindful at all.
No. Okay, I feel like we should get into the gossip, which is a big reason why you're here, Craig. You are sitting on a mountain of it. No sex dreams, but lots of gossip from your big life, bouncing around show business and all the work that you do. And just even before that, let's. What do you want to start with of what you've got?
Yeah. Have you had a think about any saucy goss, any celebs or minor celebs who are good or bad? Tell me more.
It's hard to know what everyone knows and what everyone doesn't know.
Assume everyone knows nothing. You know? We know nothing.
Well, me and Conchetta specifically know nothing about anything.
Yeah.
And then okay, here we go.
Don't. You can just say, like, not a name.
No, I'm trying to work out how not to get in trouble. Yeah.
Of course.
An actor, male actor.
You're killing it.
Who... is I'm trying to do it like Crazy Days and Nights or one of those blind
those
gossip websites.
Blind item.
Write in cryptic. Yeah. Okay. Is... oh, man. This is... like, you probably can't use it if I get to...
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm trying not to... Someone who has not been shy... someone who has... in the past, been accused of certain things, but has gotten...
I already think I know who you're talking about.
Who has some sort of skirting association with this stuff, being a sex pest, has worked here and abroad, and is kind of a big deal.
Okay. That's all we need about clues of who it is. Okay. Leave it there.
That's all you need to know, right? And then...
what did they do?
So the story comes to me from a friend of a friend who worked at a famous live performance venue.
You're doing great.
where this performer has a lot of credibility and was doing a sequence of shows... performances at this event, performance space, and would...
I think I might know this one.
I'm sorry, this is dreadful.
Say it, though.
Would, at the end of each performance, come backstage into the shower, defecate in his own costume, and leave it on the floor of the shower recess, and go about... his day, his business.
I've heard that one.
The person who had to clean it, I think I might have
mentioned
it.
Maybe you told me.
Yeah. And the people who had to clean it said, hey, this is the worst thing, you know. This is dreadful. It happens every single night.
Every night.
What's going on?
Was it a character choice,
and they
perhaps?
Said, you can't.
Oh, was it a funny riff that was just bombing every night?
What do you call it? A performer in the mode of naturalism. And the people in charge of this person who was going, this is not good, was they said, you can't tell anyone. You can't do anything. This performer is too big and fancy to have, you know, you just can't, we can't take action. And also... because this performer is, say, over 40, it could be
an
embarrassing problem.
Oh, my God.
But everybody knows that it's definitely not an embarrassing problem.
That's crazy.
And that it was
like a power move?
No.
I like
to,
that's...
to make wardrobe assistants have to clean up that
stuff. Imagine being that famous. Like, that's how, like, not that I want to do that, but, like, being so famous that you could even do that and keep working, you know? Because it's, like, I feel like if I go to a gig and I, like, don't, like, you know, eat the ass of the person, like, I need to be so polite to just be there, because I'm like, thank you so much for having me. And at any point, I could derail my career by being rude. But imagine just being able to be that rude and still.
Oh, that just is like unsettling to think that someone's in this world. I go out of my way to be nice because I like to, and it's what you should do, and it's great. But then there are people who are doing the antithesis. They just, like, can you imagine if I came home, you're like, Lauren, how's the gig? I was like, it was awesome. I shat on the floor and I'm going to keep doing it every night. Like, it makes literally no sense. And it's so horrific. And then it's also a secret. By the way, was that ever, fact ever gone to the news or the press? Or it's like, no, it's just word of mouth because of that.
Oh, yes, that's purely word of mouth. The other incidents that have gone to press have been much more directly... Yeah. A thing that everyone goes, oh, yeah,
far
right.
Out.
But this is just like someone said, well, here's an like the Rolf Harris incident.
Shit.
Someone goes, oh, yeah, of course he's a pedo. Here's what we used to call him when he was in the makeup chair.
Oh, my God.
This is, of course that guy's a cretin. Here's an example from my poor friend who had to clean up his shit.
Oh, my God.
Every night, because he got off on it. Yeah,
so funny.
God. Yeah, so there's a dreadful...
That's a great one to start on.
Yeah.
Actually, that reminds me of another... These are all going to be horrible pest stories,
great.
I guess. But
awesome.
A rather famous comedian, male.
Really?
Who was popular in either the 70s, 80s, or 90s. I'm not going to say which decade was their most popular.
It feels like hard quiz.
This has become a fun game show.
A popular comedian.
Okay. He... did one thing once that was good.
Cool.
or at least
so he's popular, just like me.
Sold a lot of records, and it now is an absolute a-hole to everyone ever since. And people don't want to work with him, don't like him. Everyone's got stories of his brash, insane inability to understand that he's sort of a nobody, and his constant fight to say he is a somebody. So that is the character we're dealing with. This comes from a woman, a woman who he was getting married to a bride from another country that was organized through families and tradition, and had never met this bride. And in the days beforehand, went to a salon, like a, what do you call it, a massage parlor? Not a massage, where you get your facials done and your manicures and your...
A beauty salon, yeah.
A beauty spa, yeah, beauty something. In an area, eastern suburbs of Sydney. And this comes to me via a makeup artist who was working at that place on this day. And he got nails and face and all this, but then went into the massage, wanted his body rubbed and rubbed down, and disgustingly laid on the table. And basically this poor individual had to begin massaging him, then realized he was being weird because he started humping the table. Then he got up after ejaculating with the towel and threw the towel at her and said, clean it up. And so she started crying and came running out and said, he's disgusting. And then everyone inside said, get out, get out. And then he said he refused to pay and left.
And he didn't even pay.
No, no. So that's like an example of someone who already is a jerk by just professional standards, who then, for this poor person, and I can only imagine he does it all the time, did something horrible that's not just he's a professional a-hole, he's, you know, an asshole all of the time.
Wow. God.
Yeah.
Coming is in this the good
gossip? I don't know if this is gossip.
No. Sorry. This is gossip. Gossip is all colors, and it just is so maddening to think that this, that people... It makes me just want, like, a giant Me Too movement. Like, just, like, clear them out. Be like, get out, get out, get out, get out. And you don't... Because, like, in the world, we're like, well, that's bad, right? But then the truth of the world is these people get to octopus their way around and just, like, do whatever they want to do until...
They are wobble boarding all over the place. And they are tied the kangaroo down right into the industry. Oh, and it's impossible to remove them.
Well, I've heard that gossip is used by people to, women in particular, I guess, communicate that someone is a bit
sick.
And the fact that it's called gossip allows it to be either false or not false or not believed or not. But it also protects you if you are spreading gossip because you are not making a legal statement, so to speak, or a social statement. There's an agreement that, well, this is hearsay, so we can't believe it. So therefore, I can tell you because I don't know if I believe it. But it's also a great way of people going, watch out for this piece of shit. This is what he gets up to.
Yeah, totally. Like, that's the power of gossip, being like, oh, like, hey, did you hear this X, Y, Z? And then you know, like, next time, maybe if you're working with them or something, when if you are not in a position where you can, like, stand up and be like, I'm not working with this person because, like, you are someone who is not holding much power in the industry, then you can just, like, be careful and stay away from them, I guess.
I'm sorry. Here's a story that's gossip, and I don't even know the people involved.
Great.
This was told to me by a friend, and it was told to me about, I reckon, 20 years ago.
Wow.
By
this Fuck. Friend. I wasn't gossip, even born.
Maybe gossip to save you for 20 years is, like, incredible.
Okay.
You've been holding this, and you've been waiting for this moment.
I've been waiting for a podcast, basically. This woman is very Catholic, who I know, but she's also gay. And in the late 90s, that was huge for her to be both. And it confused everyone, made everyone angry on every side. And she's an excellent person. And she told me this story of her youth group, a Catholic youth group, people in their 20s who would meet up. And so because she was very Italian Catholic, Conchita, I don't know if you
do I know her experience with
Catholicism. I don't know. Are you a Catholic?
I grew up, yeah, pretty Catholic. Right. Yeah.
This is in Sydney's inner west, and why do I give stupid information? But basically, a woman and a man who are Catholic were going through IVF treatment. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, and I'm not a Catholic, so I don't really understand the rules, but I don't think they were allowed to be doing IVF. Wow. It's like it was a no-no.
It can be controversial.
To be doing any kind of... You know, like, I don't know how things used to work for Catholics back then, if they just adopted and got it over with and accepted they can't, God doesn't want them to have a baby. But these two were like, well, no, we want to have a baby, so we will go and get IVF, but we won't tell the church and we won't tell our very religious family and friends. So the only person who got told this story was my friend, and told me 20 years ago, because what do they care if some kid from Western Sydney knows the story as well, you know? So I found out this story. Basically, IVF was underway and they had a kid. Now, they had two more inseminated eggs, or eggs that were ready for insemination, in the deep freezer that they were planning to use. And because they're very Catholic, they were very adamant that they were going to use those eggs, because it would be a sin not to, for some reason, you know, because they were already feeling like they were sinning by removing, you know,
well, they would be
taking it outside of the
body. They would be fertilized at that point if they are in the deep freezer or whatever. Yeah, so they would consider them like life.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So they're in a freezer or something, and they can't. They've had one kid. After the first kid is born, the man works on building sites, and is in an accident where a backhoe falls on him with the bit that does the, you know, the stabbing digging, and it falls right on his lower abdomen and groin and leg.
Oh my God.
And rips it to pieces. So he's cut, he's really messed
his
up.
His dick tore up, and I'm going to say, like, maybe, like, maybe I am now Catholic, because that was God being like, you think you can play me? You think you can get IVF and not tell people? Well, guess what? I'm going to rip your dick off. Then you'll just, like, explain yourself. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do they do then? Then how do they go about?
Well, it gets worse for them, because he goes into hospital. Everything gets kind of reattached. I think he loses a leg, but there are complications that last for many, many years. What they decide to do with the second egg is just get it over with, have it inseminated, you know, put into the woman, and she has a second baby. And everyone in the church goes, whoa, we 100% thought you wouldn't have a penis anymore. But no one had said it, because, you know, the Catholics, and I don't know, they didn't speak about it. And they just pretended. They went, everything's working 100% fine. So we've got a second baby on the way, right? But now, because of the horrible operation and complications, he's got a lot of blood clots in him. He has a stroke one day before they can do the third child.
Aww.
And then he's lying in comas for years. And so this woman decides that she's got to do something with the third egg. Even though he's in a coma and she's raising two kids, she wants to have the third kid because she's racked with guilt. So now she does, and this is the point where I was told the story, so I don't know the outcome, and maybe it's something we can guess at. But what she was considering was saying, because she's like a dedicated wife, she was always sitting by his side, and the story was going to be, the story was going to be that he woke up one night, and then he was enamored and so happy to be alive.
No.
That she had sex with him in the hospital. He popped her. And then by the time she finished and went to find the nurses, he went back into the
She's like, pussy's so good, it gets you out of a coma and then straight back in.
He, like, woke up with, like, morning wood, but, like, times 100, because it was, like, coma wood. And then, like, she fucked him, but she fucked him back into the coma.
Yeah.
She's like, and then he came, and then he just, like, went, like, you know, like, dudes just, like, fall asleep sometimes, and then he didn't wake up.
Pussy's so good at put you in a coma.
It giveth and it taketh away.
That sounded like you were reading from the Bible. That was a crazy, crazy story.
And on the fourth day, the tractor tore the man's penis to shreds.
It would be like fellas.
Well, it was very intense for them because they were very Catholic, so the stakes were very high about all of it. And I don't know, the other option, I guess, was that she was worried that no one would believe her story that he had woken up and that she had just ridden him while he was in a coma to get a third
bit. Wait, so, sorry, that third bit, was that a lie or that's really what happened?
No, the third bit was what she was considering because at that point she'd gotten away with so much and she was pretty happy, but she didn't have a husband to talk to. He was in a coma. So she opened up to my friend. Yeah. Who then came to me and said, man,
what is she going to do?
About the weirdest fucking thing.
How was she not?
What do you think?
Is she not worried? She's like worried that people will think that she like fucked her unconscious husband, but she's not at all considered that people might think that she has like slept with another man entirely. Like that's what people's minds would jump to. Obviously, like husband in a coma and you got pregnant. Like I'm thinking you slept with someone else, not thinking that you like brought your dead husband to life and like, put a splint on his limp dick so you could, like, get it up in you. Like, that's not where my mind is going. Right.
I've never thought, in 20 years, I've never thought about that was an option because for her, it was the, will they believe me about this or do I have to admit to IVF? They were, like, you know, the list of things she was
and
worried
Lauren's,
about.
Like, but telling
she never
everyone.
Considered that people would
I think
that.
She cheated.
Yeah.
Lauren's spreading the rumor.
I'm like, I heard she fucked the youth minister. And she's in the room with her sleeping husband.
That's crazy gossip. And it feels like if this were like Dr. Phil, like if we had that, we would get her back on and the three kids and everyone would be like screaming and you'd get to hear from the horse's mouth what she used as the third excuse.
Well, Conchetta, I'm wondering what you would pick or Lauren, what you would. I don't think I've ever thought of what I would be able to do. I just think I'd have to open
I would,
up about it.
I'd be like, it's an immaculate conception. I'm Mary.
Yeah. I would claim miracle. Wow. I would get the Vatican involved. It's hard to put yourself in that position because it's like so many factors that I would not be involved in. I would not want to have three children. I would not be Catholic. I would not be okay with admitting to having IVF, which is a perfectly normal thing to do. That there's too many factors that are not just, it's just not going to happen for me. Like, I just don't think I'm going to find myself in this woman's shoes, except unless maybe in 10 years time, I will find myself in this woman's shoes and I'll be like, well, 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 little did I know that I would be here today.
All I'd say is, like, just like that quote from George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it. So if you just believe it really hard, everyone else has just got to get on board. You're like, it was the wildest night of my life. I got to, like, imagine I could picture myself doing that
20.
Performance, being like, Ben woke up and I, like, and he, like, looked at me and I was like, oh, baby. And then, like, I came and he came and then he went straight back in the coma and I just sat next to him and I held his hand. And it was a done deal. And now I'm the mother of three beautiful Italian Jewish babies.
That's amazing. Craig, we'll get any other little bits of gossip if you had that you were dying to let us know, and then we'll let you go. Did you have anything else you were gagging to tell us about?
This is one that's kind of like a sweeter, more fun, traditional gossip.
Love.
And I hope someone hasn't already told it on your podcast. They might have. It's about a higher up executive level person at a certain network who is well known to comedians and since no longer has that position and is a bit of a joke. Everyone's kind of is like the butt of jokes behind his back when he was in power and now I think openly a lot. But apart from all of the just not being great at the position that he was in, the best story I ever heard was by a writer who was in early one morning on a level of a very grey, you know, depressing building in this network, with lots of desks, and it was like 7:30 in the morning, and they were in early, sitting in a meeting room doing work that looked out into the entire floor. Saw this executive person come in, and this person also had an addiction to a lot of illegal substances, let's say. And this person came in and perhaps hadn't slept and was just moving from desk to desk, picking up used coffee cups and draining them of the dregs.
Whoa.
And drinking. Just went and apparently put hand in bin to find coffee cups that had little bits of coffee, would tip them into his mouth and just did the entire floor. Oh. And this poor writer just sat there with their mouth dropped, you know, thinking, oh my God, and didn't, you know, obviously didn't approach or say anything, and just has since told me the story and other people that story. And it's just blows.
That's
my
incredible.
Mind.
But can I say, yeah. Can I say, like, can I sit here and judge this man or person when that exact scenario was me, age 19 in nightclubs with people's cans of drinks sitting around? I was quite famous for doing it. All my friends knew that I would drink anyone's drink that they put down. Got confronted a few times by strangers, but
always
got away with it. And I survived.
Is it true?
That's crazy, Lauren.
Before, I'm poor, guys. Come on.
Oh, that's true.
I do. You just have it. It's a beer. It's sitting there. It's out there. Mm. Of course I'm going to finish it. This was before COVID existed. Mm. We were free then. All we had was cold sores, maybe. If that was the biggest risk. Couldn't do that after COVID. Drink people's old drinks. I miss it.
I used to do a similar thing with fries.
I can see. Yeah, sometimes. Once I actually went on a date, and it's so weird that this didn't turn me off him at all, but I went on the date and I got there and he had like a platter and he was like, these people just left and they said that I could finish this. They looked nice. Like, can I eat? Like, is it weird if I eat this? And I was like,
oh no, I love that.
I was like, eat it, go off.
If he's like explicitly talked to them.
Yeah. They like,
and it looks relatively fresh. No worries.
It was some calamari or something. And I was like, yeah, eat it. I'm here. What do you want?
Oh, Craig, you were awesome. Thank you so much for your gossip.
Wow. Yeah.
You're a friend of the pod and just of us in general. And it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Conchita and Lauren. I love you both. And I can't wait to see you again soon.
Oh, is there anything like you like want to plug or shout out? Or
I have nothing to plug. I've been working with a nerd friend from high school, actually, on a podcast. He's now the associate professor of film at Sydney Uni. And I listen to a lot of film podcasts, but they're mostly comedians just talking nonsense. Mm. I'm doing this podcast with him. We've been working on it for 12 months. It's the most densely academic, ridiculous study of film.
When's it come out?
But I'm trying to make it's coming out in a couple of months, and it's called Film vs. Film, and we just compare two films and talk about
yes.
it.
Yes.
You know, it's
finally
fun.
Some people talking real very sense nice. About yeah. movies. We don't need comedians saying garbage about films. We need to hear the facts of the film and the real analysis.
The truth.
You need the facts, absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much, Craig. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, bye.
Okay, so let's get to some listener gossip because we actually have so much. And so if you send us stuff and you haven't heard it yet or whatever, we do like work through it kind of over the week. So it doesn't mean we've forgotten it or lost it. Although there is a possibility that we have lost it because we are disorganized, stupid bimbos. but I have some gossip. I've got the first one is from the Curious Cat. So that is Curious Cat, Big Natural Talents. If you want to send us something totally anonymous, we can't even see who it comes from. It just comes from anonymous. That's the perfect place to do it. This person, I was just reading it through. This person was inspired by our informant the other week telling us about her workplace being
awesome,
crazy from like a government job. She said that she, when she was only 20. Actually, I'm assuming that this is a she, so because she talks about perfume, but it could be either one or whatever. I'm just going to say she. When she was 20, she was working for like a state government department, and there was a guy in her team who was in his mid-40s, and he was married as well, but they like got on pretty well. And then once they arrived at work together at the same time, and they got in the elevator together, and it was just them in the elevator, and he said, "Are you wearing perfume?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "It smells nice." And then she says that he leant in and sniffed her neck, like brushed the hair off her neck and smelled her neck. His nose touched her neck, and then he whispered, "You're so dangerous," just as the elevator doors were opening to our floor. And they both got out of the elevator and never talked about it or mentioned it again.
Oh, my God, that is horrific. And also, if that was taken out of the pages of 50 Shades of Grey, no one would know the difference.
Like, that was in Grey's Anatomy. That was,
you know, but hearing it like this is, like, frightening.
Just being like, "You're so dangerous." Like, okay.
Okay, Ariana Grande.
Okay. Like, am I disgusted? Yes. Am I jealous? Yes. Yes.
Someone, a guy's doing that to me. He's moving my hair, sniffing me, and he's like, "You're stinky." That's yeah. what guys are saying to me.
He'd be like, "You have a fungus." "You smell fishy." I thought that was incredible. And then,
that's incredible.
I've got some email gossip. I've got this one from my friend who I went to school with. She's given us so much goss. And it's like not that long, but I'll have to like, I'll tell the tale for you. So she was at a music festival in the Blue Mountains and she saw a guy there, and she says, like, "I saw him at the bar and he just like had a beard, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in love with this guy." And I was like, we've all been 22.
We've all been there.
We've all been 22 and seen a beard for the first time. We stand, we sympathize. And so then she like was talking to this guy, and it turned out he lived in the Blue Mountains. Mm. And isn't that always the risk of going to a remote music festival, that you might meet someone and they might live far away? Mm. And so she was like chatting to this guy, and then the next week they planned to get drinks. He was like going to come down her way because he was like an hour and a half away in the mountains. And then she like met up with him for a drink, and they went on a few dates, and it was like pretty good vibes. And then eventually he was like, "What if we got a hotel room? Because I live so far away." And she was a bit off that. She was like, "Like, I don't know, it's kind of weird." And then she was like going out with her girlfriends one night, and he got a bit possessive. He was like, "Oh, well, maybe could me and my boys come and meet you guys?" And she was like, "Okay, you're going to like get the train for an hour and a half just to see me, like to make sure I don't meet another guy." And she was kind of off him at that point. And then she did kind of break it off with him. And afterwards he was like pretty annoyed and like jealous and stuff. And she was like, "Okay, well, this proves my point that like, I didn't like you as much as you liked me, and it was weird, and he was far away." And then also to mention, when he suggested they get a hotel, her friends were all sus as hell, because they were like, if he needs a hotel, like, he's either like cheating, or he like lives somewhere fucked up, or like there's something going on. And then a few months passed, and she ran into one of her ex-boyfriends at the pub, and he goes, "Oh, I heard you were dating this guy Dave," which is that guy. And she was like, "Oh, like, how did you know about that?" And he was like, "Oh, like, my mate's friends with him, and he was talking about you all the time. He was like obsessed with you." And she was like, "Oh, okay, like, well, it's actually not that crazy that he would be obsessed with me, so whatever." And then he was like, "No, it is weird that he was talking about you all the time, because he's engaged."
Oh, my God.
And he was engaged all along. And he was seeing my friend, and he was being, like, possessive of her while he was engaged. And he was even, like, telling his friends about seeing her, like, when he was engaged. Like, is that, like, does the bro code extend that far, that you could just be like, pulling this shit?
For some bros, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, but you're really testing the waters.
Yeah.
By just throwing that out there. Surely one bro is like, "Bro, what about your fiance?"
"Bro, I know that there's the bro code, but I don't, it's complicated, I guess."
Oh my God. It's just some horrific stuff.
If you're just engaged, yeah.
Horrible. A hotel's not a great vibe. Okay, I've got some crazy little gossip that comes from the Instagram. This is a year 12 story for someone. And it was the last week of year 12. And they had this lunch where teachers left all the kids alone and the whole year like went in a big circle in the middle of the football oval and just were like telling embarrassing stories, which honestly sounds like so fun.
That
like what
amazing.
A cool thing and crazy thing to wrangle.
Also
all
like
of year 12.
In a big circle, like the whole grade, like theater in the round. Like what did people like walk into the middle of the circle and they were like, year 10 camp, remember? Paint the picture. I was there in my kayak and Damien pissed his pants and like everyone laughs. Like that would
absolutely.
Create like that. You need some charisma to own that circle.
Absolutely. So this person was saying most of the stories were just about people being drunk and nothing too spicy. But then one kid, a kind of like silent goth sort of guy, tells the story about how at the start of the year at school, he unwrapped a fantail, put it in his foreskin for a few seconds, took it out, wrapped it up again, and threw it into a crowd of the jock guys he doesn't like. And that one of them ate it, and he knows who it was, but he chose not to say because that's funnier. So then the whole group in the circle were freaking out for the rest of the story time. And then it ends and everyone starts to dissipate. And he gets up again at the last moment and goes, oh, yeah. And by the way, it was and identified the guy. And the person telling me this was like somehow the guy got away unscathed. Like everyone just bullied the guy who ate the fantail rather than what we would famously know in a movie scenario, bully the goth. Or even in a life scenario, bully the goth.
Yeah.
Is that not a crazy tale?
That's amazing. And that's like
a fan tale.
Yeah, that's a fan tale. And that is a goth's revenge. That's what that is. Revenge of the goths. He got his. He really won.
That's awesome. Okay, and I have another kind of school one that I also loved. And this person was just like, so someone in school made a sex tape with an impulse can. And
was that like my school?
Yeah. Right. So this is, the person says, I feel like every school had an impulse girl. And
yes.
I said, I had to clarify. I was like, sorry, do you mean someone is masturbating or something with... like, what are they doing? And she was like, an impulse can was used to masturbate in one vid. And then she also had one. This is obviously a specific story, but like one fucking like three guys from the grade above. And she became known as Impulse Girl for all of high school.
It is crazy for them to make like this teen girl perfume and make it like perfectly cock-sized. Because that is the impulse can. Like they know what they're doing with that.
Yeah, and she was like, everyone at a school had like a hairbrush girl or a Rexona girl.
Rexona girl. Yeah, I feel like that happens, which is like, it is. It's icky because they're children. That's rough.
That is crazy.
Even if it's probably usually just like a rumor, isn't it? Like you can never because in my head, like immediately I was like, don't say if that was someone from my school who sent that in. But it's like in my head, I was like, oh yeah, I think I remember that like happening. But it's like, did I see the footage? No, it was a rumor. It was gossip.
But let me tell you, I'm sure at least one schoolgirl has shoved a can.
Oh, yeah.
Where she wanted to.
Many, 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 many.
Many cans.
Many have, and many have not documented it, and many have never discussed it, probably. It definitely has happened. I had another good email one, which was from a listener. So this was kind of a small town as well. So a girl at her school was dating like a fucked up drug dealer for a while. And then she broke up with him and he got really upset and he got her name tattooed on his dick. And so he had like a tattoo of this girl's name on his dick. No. But the girl's name, which I don't know what the girl's name is, but it was like she had a name that was in a different language. And you know how like names have meanings, you know, like Conchetta means conception or something.
Yeah.
This girl's name in her language meant like a small offering or package, like a small offering you'd bring to someone's home. So he sent her a photo of his tattooed dick and said like, it's yours forever, and had her name tattooed on it. But like her name meant like this small package.
Oh, that is so poetic. It hurts.
It is, isn't it? You couldn't even make that up. Isn't that beautiful? And then there was from the same person. There was another guy who lived in a town a few hours away, and like every girl had always like had received like an unsolicited Facebook message from him. He was like that annoying guy. Like he'd messaged everyone. Mm. And then she heard that he had a shoebox full of cum under his bed.
No. Are we talking loose cum in a shoebox, or are we talking a box full of cum in tissues in a shoebox?
So, if we want to get into cum box, there is kind of a cultural phenomena as well attached. I think, like, what she means is, like, because, like, you know when, like, teen boys, like, jerk off, they would, like, wipe their cum up with, like, some kind of rag or something. So,
yeah.
Gross dudes probably have, like, these cummy rags all over their bedrooms. We should get, like, maybe a man on to confirm this. But I think she means, like, he, like, had a shoebox that he cummed in every time. But that reminds me, because there was, like, a famous Reddit post, which was called, like, the cum box. And it was someone who, like, posted photos of that, basically. They had kept a shoebox that they cummed into for years and years. And the cum was, like, blackened. And it had, like, deformed the box. And it was, yeah, it was, it's a whole thing. So you could look that up if you
want. I'm looking it up. And everyone else should do the same.
I don't think we can put pictures of that on our Instagram. No, that is too horrific.
Oh, I've already found it.
So if you want to see the cum box, you can just look up cum box. Do that on your own time. Do that on your own watch. We're not going to be putting those photos on our feed. You've seen it, Conchita?
My mouth is open. I have nothing more to say or do.
Talk me through it. How you feel?
Oh, my God. It's... all you can see is discoloration, is what I'd say. When you think of cum, you famously think white, clear, pure, transparent. Clean. And then you see this and you're like, what? It's black. It's brown. It's like, what's happened?
What's this guy's diet?
Someone's taken a blowtorch to it. Something is wrong.
I guess it's kind of like, it makes me think about, you know, in Super Size Me, how the guy has like a cheeseburger and he keeps it for 10 years and it still looks perfect.
That's what cum should be like.
That's what cum should be like, but it doesn't. It immediately turns foul.
Yeah, because cum is sin, so everyone knows that.
It's organic. That's why. It's natural.
This has been a bumperette.
It really has. It's been a longer one. Do you have any other Instagram goss or anything that you want to do today?
I have so much. I might let you choose. I have a long story about a guy who worked with a scammer, which then there's like a news article, or there's a short one about someone being naked in the moon, or I can give you stuff about people having sex at school or teachers fucking. I've categorized everything. Teacher-student relationships.
How about we do the teachers fucking, actually? Because did we do that last time? Because I remember I read it last time. I wanted to say it, but then we didn't do it, about the person who worked at a school who gave us this intel.
Yeah, you've highlighted it.
And I'm highlighting it right now. Okay, I'm going to quickly do this one, because then I know this one too, unless you are wanting to do it.
No, you do it.
So this person who worked at a school, so that means, like, the information is better, because if you're a student at a school and you hear a rumor that two teachers are fucking, then it's like, well, congratulations, that's every student in every school. We make up those rumors and it's fake.
Just like the rumor that, like, your teacher was Mr. G.
Yeah.
From
actually, my teacher, that's who it was based off. Says that.
Everyone says that.
Fuck off. Just shut your fucking mouth.
Everyone has a gay drama teacher that may or may not have their last name start with a G. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
So everyone's saying it.
Get over it. Okay. So they found out she was working at a high school, and it was a PE teacher and an English teacher, and they were always flirty and stuff. And so everyone thought that they were having an affair, and they didn't really do anything to dispel the rumors themselves. But then they found out for sure that they were having an affair. The maintenance person was like checking all of the areas, and they found like a loft area above the PE staff room, and they found what can only be described as a sex den. They pulled like a crash mat up there, like those gymnastic school mats, and there were like sheets and condoms. So they the teachers had like made a little sex nest in the roof for themselves, and then when they were off class, they would both sneak up there and fuck, and they'd like kept it up for over a year, and then everyone found out, and it was really awkward because the PE teacher's son went to like the primary school at the same site. Is that crazy? Because he was like cheating on his wife, by the way.
Yeah.
And then, like, by the end of it, like, they both left their marriages and their families and got together, and they were, like, really cocky about it and rude. And then, even the best, so then the leadership at the school changed, and they got a new high school principal, and the principal was the PE teacher's ex-wife's sister.
No.
So the new principal comes, and it's, like, the fucking sister-in-law from your previous marriage that you just cheated on your wife with.
Yeah.
Your son's aunt. And so then, like, their new boss is, like, the old sister-in-law, and she just, like, openly hates them. And she was like, fuck you. And, like, the meetings were hectic. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
What could she have done short of firing them? Like, how could she have made their life hell? Maybe she could have, like, put the sex dungeon, like, in the school newsletter.
Like, taken photos of it, like, the cum box, I guess, and published it.
Yeah, or, like, made that cum dungeon, like, cleared it out and made it a classroom so they can never have sex there again.
Or, like, made him teach all of his lessons in the cum dungeon, in the roof.
Yeah.
It's like, you made your bed, literally. Now lie in it.
Now teaching it.
Try being fatphobic to children up in this dungeon.
Hmm?
Anyway, I thought that was amazing.
That's amazing. And I put that in there and I didn't even clock that.
You didn't even clock the sex den. I love that. They made a sex den.
Well, yeah, people are coming in thick and fast with the gossip. Thank you. And keep bringing it to us. I had a thought recently that I shared with Lauren that gossip are just stories. And Lauren and I are storytellers and you all are storytellers. And that's why we do what we do. Human beings want to hear stories, want to tell stories. Sometimes they're about sex pests who work in the industry for years. And some of them are about just like a girl with a can in a schoolyard. You know,
a humble tale of a girl and her can. And what happens next won't shock you. Because it's a tale we've all heard before, and it's a tale as old as time. And isn't that beautiful? We've got some great episodes coming up for you that we're excited to record. We've got some guests coming up. We've got some famous guests coming up. Guests that you would not expect. Exciting things happening.
We're going all corners of the world to get you gossip. And so thank you for listening. And thank you for all the reviews and ratings we've got. Please don't stop. I noticed that people listen to this on Spotify, so you're not thinking about leaving a review. If you would humbly go over to Apple Podcasts, leave your review, then go straight back to Spotify. That helps us a lot with our growth and our egos and our self-confidence and esteem.
Yeah. Our absolutely precarious, tiny, delicate self-esteem. So thank you so much. And then, yes, if you have any gossip for us, feel free to DM us or email us at bignaturaltalents@gmail.com. You can send us a voice recording if you like. Keep it short and sharp. Send anonymously through Curious Cat or follow us on Instagram as well, Big Natural Talents. Too many plugs.
That's the spiel. That's enough. We've both got to go back and have the rest of our mental breakdowns in lockdown. We love you all. I love you, Lauren.
Love you. Stay safe.